Welcome to this edition of Kansas Farm Bureau's Inside Ag. I'm your host, Greg Deering. Today, I'm talking with K-State's Casey Olson about alternative burning practices to control weeds in the Flint Hills and the impact on cattle herd. Casey, welcome to the show, and I'm excited to have you on today.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
We'll get into the first question here. Everyone in Kansas knows spring is burning season, especially in the Flint Hills. Your research shows there's potential benefits for invasive weed control if you burn in the late summer or early fall. How do you go about convincing skeptics this is an effective tool? And just to be clear, you're not arguing for less burning here. You want to just do it at a different time.
Well, that's a fact. And I'm not by any means advocating that this is an exclusive treatment, one size fits all for everybody. And in answer to your question, the way that I would go about not necessarily convincing, but showing people the benefits is sharing our research site. I mean, we did that for the first time in 2016 at a location in Geary County. And by that time, we were three treatments and two growing seasons into an evaluation of either early August or early September burning in comparison with April burning. And people could see the results. I mean, they could see the forage growth, the regrowth that we'd had post-fire. They could see the resurgence of some native legumes and other native forbs. And they could also see visually markedly less Sericea lespediza.
You mentioned Sericea lespediza. You started on this path in an effort to control that. Can you tell me what makes that different in the prairie ecosystem of the Flint Hills and why spring burning hasn't been effective in controlling this?
Well, it's a sort of a late growing forb, and you know, fire really doesn't have the opportunity to touch a live plant. It's been remarkably successful as an invasive plant in Kansas because it produces a tremendous amount of seed. It's mildly allelopathic. It's canopy dominant. I mean, the list goes on. There are a lot of features about Sericea lespediza that make it very aggressive.
We'll pause here for a moment for this message from Kansas Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Frustrated with your current health care coverage? Kansans are saving up to 60% a month with Kansas Farm Bureau Health Plans. Choose from individual and family plans, short-term coverage, or dental and vision plans. It's quality coverage you can afford. Learn more and get a free quote by visiting kfphealthplans.com or visiting a Farm Bureau Financial Services agent near you.
Welcome back to our conversation with K-State range cattle scientist Casey Olson as we discuss the use of prescribed fire to control invasive species. Casey, is fall burning something that needs to happen every year, or is this something a producer can use in rotation with spring burning, and are there any other benefits to alternating the fire season?
Okay, there's a lot of material there. Let's unpack this a little bit. I want to differentiate here between true summer season burning and true fall season burning. So our initial study was more like a pilot scale. We had 15-acre plots that were replicated three times for April, August, and September burn seasons. We did that for four consecutive years in the absence of grazing. We could use either August or September fire to control Sericea lespediza. There were very few, if any, negative consequences to the tallgrass prairie ecosystem. You know, we saw maybe some slight shifts in the proportions of big blue stem and little blue stem between those treatments and the traditional spring fire season, but that was really it. No difference in forage production, no difference in bare soil or litter accumulation at mid-season. The things that we did not expect to see that were equally exciting is a resurgence of some of the native legumes and some of the native wildflowers upon which our grassland obligate invertebrates depend and our grassland birds depend in turn on the supply of those grassland invertebrates. So with that, we were able to generate enough enthusiasm beginning in 2018 to move this to more of a commercial scale where livestock grazing was actually part of the picture. And, you know, what we're seeing with consecutive applications of fire in either the spring, the true summer season, or the true fall season, this is getting into late September and early October, is that animal performance over 2 years has been equivalent. between the spring and the fall. This is on yearling cattle. And it's been just a little bit less in the true fall season. In terms of, you know, some of the botanical shifts that we're seeing, those are uniformly positive in this case. We're seeing more native plants appear in our summer fire season than what we currently have in our spring fire season pastures. And we're maybe seeing more of those habitat plants show up in our fall fire season treated pastures.
You alluded to this, and maybe the most interesting part of your research to our members here is what happens with a stocker producer and what happens to the cattle on these pastures. What are you giving up gain? Are you seeing much of a difference at all? And what it boils down to is this cost effective?
So, you know, as a rancher would do it, fire costs about 75 cents an acre to apply, regardless of the season in which you apply it. You know, when we talk about cost effectiveness, if you have a choice between burning in the summer months or spraying in the late summer, early fall, there is a major margin there to give up a little performance. What we're seeing, though, is when we compare spring and summer, we're not giving up any performance. The only place we give up performance is when we compare spring fire season with a true fall fire season. And after 2 years of individual animal gain monitoring, we gave up about 20 pounds comparing spring and summer versus fall.
If a late summer burn, is there enough litter available to, I mean, have you had any trouble with the litter available to get a fire going and burn through the pasture at an appropriate heat?
Well, it's a different way of fire management. I'll just say that. So what carries the fire during the growing season is actually the dead plant material from the previous season. So it's a slow burning fire. It doesn't make very big flames. You know, we can tolerate a higher level of wind, but we need a lower level of humidity during the summer than you know, what we would typically get in the spring.
How much more work do you have on this research project? And at what point could you say this is something that people ought to really consider implementing? Or are you there already?
Well, you know, if people out there have a serious Serratia lespidiza problem, you know, after 7 years, okay, I don't think fire application has to be every year, but every other year, certainly until you've got it under control. But progressively, you'll see sort of in this order, less seed produced every year a fire is supplied, progressively smaller plants, progressively weaker plants, and ultimately fewer Serratia lespidiza plant crowns. You know, we talk about implementing this as, you know, sort of a normal part of managing a commercial stocker operation. You know, I don't think that it needs to be an exclusive summer fire season. I think we're better off if we can sort of change up our prescribed fire practices. That sort of prevents us from getting into an ecological rut and allows us to experience a wider array of prescribed fire benefits over time.
That's Casey Olson with K-State. Thank you for joining us on today's show.
You're very welcome. It's great to be with you.
That's it for this edition of Inside Ag. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. From Manhattan, I'm Greg Deering for Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. Inside Ag is made possible by Kansas Farm Bureau members in each of the state's 105 counties. To become a member, visit www.kfb.org/join.